Good evening. And thank you to each of you for your attendance this evening. I have been tasked with a most difficult, it's really a privilege, but it's a difficult challenge nonetheless. To introduce tonight's program. And I'm going to do so by way of a pasuk from this coming week's parasha, which would seem to be completely off topic. Actually, arguably a much more cheerful and happy situation, which the Torah describes different situations of Jewish marriage. And the Torah describes marriage, the institution of marriage, the phenomenon of marriage, from a Torah's perspective, as Bi'ah B'Kal Hashem, as entering into the Kahal, the Kehila, the congregation of God. And the Torah tells that certain individuals, Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem. So that's what marriage means. Marriage means, for a Jew, not I'm now going to start my life with my soulmate and disappear into the woods where nobody could bother us, but I am now entering the Kahal of Hashem. When you think about it, that's a very profound idea. Because what the Torah is telling us is that something which is very personal, something which is very familial, having to do with my husband, my wife, my children, my immediate family, is a national issue. That's not a personal issue. It's not just about me and my family, but that's really something that affects the entire nation of Israel. And I think the inverse is true as well, which is really why perhaps there are so many people here tonight, more so than there would be, you'll forgive me, for a more average, typical event. And I think the reason is because intuitively we recognize that just as it's not just about me as a family, it's about my relationship with the entire Jewish nation. When a family that we have never met before, but has suffered on a personal level, it's not just about a family, but it's a national issue. And I certainly don't mean to suggest it's a national issue from a perspective of political activism, which it may be. I certainly don't mean to suggest that we should be inspired to go ahead and become more involved in the global scene, in our efforts to combat terrorism. That all may be so, but on a very, very personal level, on a very intimate level, we are here to commemorate a national tragedy, but we are experiencing it as individuals who feel like we have lost a member of our family. And to be clear, of course, we don't feel it quite like our guests, Amichai and Rina, do, but I hope they'll forgive us on some level. On some small level, we do feel as if our family has been subjected to the catastrophe, obviously, indirectly, but that you have had to endure and continue to have to endure, undoubtedly, each and every day. Want to introduce the first speaker this evening, who is going to introduce our main guests. And the individual who says that she needs no introduction happens to have several connections to the shul, including the fact that she is the niece of Phyllis and Sandy Zlotnick. Her parents, siblings, others have had connections to our shul in the past. I went to high school with her husband. So many connections. But I asked her just a moment ago, in what capacity are you here? What organization do you work for? And I could see that she didn't really know how to say quite what she wanted to say, so I put the words in her mouth. The institution, the organization that she works for is Klal Yisrael. She is representing Amichai and Rina, and she met them at the Shiva, Lo Aleinu. We should be inspired not only by Amichai and Rina and the example that they set, and how strange and overwhelming it is to consider that they are here to talk to us, to give us chizuk, and to talk to us about bitachon and what it means to be a faithful Jew in difficult and unfathomable times, but to be inspired by individuals who have not necessarily been impacted quite as personally, but who respond to events in this world and roll up their sleeves and get involved and say, what can I do? So it's really a tremendous zchus for us as a community to welcome the three of them here. They have left their communities, their families, they've left their home in Eretz Yisrael to spend several days traveling to many communities and to share inspiration and leadership and guidance. We thank them in advance for coming, joining us, and at this time I call Ilana Cronenberg, who's going to introduce Amichai and Rina.
Thank you, Rabbi Rothwax. I want to start by saying, as I stand before you, I stand here, Bizchut Halel Yafa Ariel, having emunah after the unfathomable, keeping the faith after your child is gone. Jewish faith, is it possible after a tragedy strikes? Emunah after tragedy hits home. Finding faith amongst pain and horror. Emunah despite pain and suffering. Doing whatever it takes to have emunah each day. Is it possible to keep the faith? Kol tehallelah, hallelujah, im emunah. I called Rina to discuss, and I mentioned each of these topics that I made a list of and that I compiled. And I said, Rina, which one speaks to you, which one? And she said, Ilana, it all says the same story, emunah. The first time I met Amichai and Rina Ariel was when they were sitting Shiva for their daughter Halel in their home in Kiryat Arba. This past year especially, due to so many horrific terror attacks, there have been so many funerals, so many Shiva homes to be Menachem Avel. And you go, being we are all connected as family. I want to share that as I stood waiting for a turn, now understand that people came in droves to express their condolences. There was literally a line that went about their entire dining room, living room, and kitchen to wait just to be able to say, Hamakom Yinachem Etchem. And I will never forget what happened as I waited. The woman in front of me expressed to Rina that she herself had lost her husband in a terror attack and was now remarried. She had no children from her first marriage, and as of yet, had not yet been blessed with children from her second marriage. Rina became completely emotional and connected to this woman immediately. She asked for the woman's husband to move forward as Rina and Amichai both stood up. Both Rina and Amichai, who is a Kohen, blessed this couple for children. All of a sudden, there was not a dry eye around. Before us stood a couple who had just experienced the most horrific nightmare, and they are giving blessings. A couple who came to give comfort, were instead receiving comfort from the grieving parents. It is a true zchut, privilege, to know them, yet painful to think about the circumstances under which we met. There and here, before us, are people deeply rooted in emunah. After the Shiva, I reached out to Amichai and I sent him a message. And I asked Amichai, can I just have a few boxes of your wine? I forgot to mention, and I'm just gonna ad lib here. At the Shiva, there was a box. And in this box was boxes, there was bottles of wine. And it said, Le'ilui Neshama of Halel Yafa, Hashem Yikamtava. And people were buying the wine. And I came home and I just thought it was just a way to connect, like to take to take the chol and to be mekadesh, to make a bracha and elevate. Like, let's elevate. Let's elevate this holy neshama and reach, just have her neshama go higher and higher and higher. So after the shiva, I reached out to Amichai to just lahafitz et hayayin, to help promote the wines. The wines that Hallel herself, Hashem Yikom Tama, had bottled together alongside her father. What better way to respond to the tragedy than to make a bracha over a cup of wine and elevate her holy soul? It is a zchut to be here in Tinek with Rina, Amichai, and their two daughters, Shira and Kana, and all of you. Thank you, Rabbi Rothbach, and to all I have been in contact with these past few weeks. And a special thanks to my Aunt Phyllis and Sandy Zlotnick, and my uncle Sandy Zlotnick, for their help into making this visit possible. May we all take in every word that Rina says and have it resonate in our lives so that our faith in Hashem is strengthened. It is a personal honor to introduce a woman whose strength and courage are an inspiration to all who are privileged to know her. I would like to also introduce Amichai as well, as they both will speak. And bezchut Hallel Yafa. Rina and Amichai.
Thanks, Elena. Okay, my English is not that well. Good evening. I think 2.5 months ago, I never ever dreamt that this is what I'm going to do in the first 2 weeks of September. We hope to open the year, bring our children to school, and be busy like everyone else. One night changed everything, one morning changed everything, and we're here. I'm very excited to be here, just in the sense that when I'm standing here and see 100 people, we know our story is not a private story. Our story is something that unites us. And people say we feel apart and we want to share the story, and we feel the same. This is a story of the Jewish people, and we came here to share. I'll say a few words, Amichai will say a few words, and then we'd just love to open it to, you know, to share and talk. 3 years ago, I was in this shul. I came for Shabbos to my second cousin, Sharon Schwebel, and I just remember it as an amazing shul, but I never thought we'll come back here. 2.5 months ago, on a Thursday morning, Hallel was murdered. It took a second. The Muslim Arab came in. He stabbed her in the heart. She was murdered in a second. That changed all of our life and everything. But a day later, we had to make a decision. Do we want to live or do we want to live or die? Is it better this way? Okay. It took us a day to make the decision that we want to live. We have two girls and we have a story. And it's a hard decision. The easiest thing for us is to lie down in bed and die. I think the worst nightmare a parent can have is to wake up in the morning and find your own kid has been dying in bed, murdered in bed. But we had to make this decision because otherwise the terrorist would win. Amichai's mother, when she was just barely the age of my daughter Hallel, she was on a train to, maybe I'll hold it, it'll be much easier. No, right, I think it'll be better. I could feel free and I could do.
Is it better?
Yeah. About 50 years ago, more, my mother-in-law, when she was close to Hallel's age, she was put on a train to Treblinka with all her family. And the destiny was very fine. And her father said, you must jump and save your life. And she was close to Hallel's age. She was like almost 14. She took this train, jumped, and she was survived. The only soul from a from her own family was survived. And when Hillel was murdered, I felt it's the same story. We're telling the story of the Jewish people. The story that says, I'll say it in Hebrew, Bechol dor vador omdim aleinu lechaloteinu. Hitler wanted to murder that 14-year-old girl 60, 70 years before, and the Nazis of today, the Muslims, want to murder us, and we have to be strong. And I'm trying to think, we were trying to think, what helps us wake up in the morning? How could you continue after such a thing happened? I want to say, share thoughts that help me, and I hope maybe it can help other people, because everybody has their own sorrow, their own yesurim, their own agony. Many years ago, I heard something from a rabbi in Israel known as Rabbi Ginsburg, and he said something interesting. When we want to stand in front of God and worship God, we have three different aspects that we could speak in front of God. The first one is when we say, Avinu Malkeinu, a king. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. There is a king, and I'm a slave. And it's so common, like all the kids know, okay, Hashem is the king and we are the slave. But I think this murder taught me how humble I must be. And the biggest question I always want to ask is, why Hillel? Stand up and cry in front of God and say, why Hillel? A beautiful 13 and a half, modest, smart, loving girl, why? And I know the answer is because. There's no question. In Hebrew, I would say, Lama, and the answer would be Kacha. There's no way I can ask this question. And I think what I'm trying to teach myself is trembling and being humble before God and knowing I'll never get this answer. It reminds me of a story that I always tell the girls, but I guess I know it from when I was a kid, about this Jew that tells Eliyahu Navi, I want to go with you to see how God, you know, acts in his world. And Eliyahu tells him, you know, come with me, but it won't be easy. And I have one condition. You can't open your mouth. As soon as you ask questions, the journey is done. So the Jew says, okay. And they go, Eliyahu and Avi and this Jew side by side, and they get to this small poor house, and everybody does hachnasat orchim, they entertain them, and everything is great. And when they leave, Eliyahu and Avi stands and prays, oh God, let the cow of this Jew die. A second later, the only cow is dead. And this Jew is shocked. They were being fed, and they were being, everything was great. Why to pray that the cow should die? They're continuing on the journey, and they're going into another small house, and the same thing happens again, and everything is great. Eliyahu Navi stands and says, you see this wall that this poor Jew wanted to build? Let this wall be destroyed. And it goes on, and this Jew is saying, Eliyahu Navi, I must ask you a question. What is going on in this world? You took me to so many great Jews that did so many good mitzvahs, and this is what you're giving them? You're killing the cow, and you're destroying the house. And Eliyahu Navi said, this second your journey is done. You can't ask questions. So the Jew said, but please tell me one answer, and we'll separate. So Eliyahu Navi says, you won't understand, but I'll try. The first house, something over there happened, and the kid, the only child of this loving couple, had to die. So I prayed that the cow should die instead. The second house, there was a treasure underneath. I prayed the wall should be broken so they should find the treasure. I don't know why. Why Hillel was murdered, because. And when we say to ourselves, Amichai and I, we hope at least Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, day after day, we could be humble enough to know that we scream and ask, why Hillel? But we can't know. We can't know the answer, and we have to be this generation that we want to know everything, and we feel we know everything. And like sometimes I sit in a group, and I ask a question, and people Google already the answer, and everybody's so wise and intelligent. Some questions we can't know. And this is one of the things, is why? Because no question in the world can answer and be a good enough question to why a loving, amazing girl was murdered. But it's not a good enough answer. It's part. I think a second answer says, this is not the only relationship with God. There's another different kind of relationship, but that we want to have. I don't want to only be a slave and only stand before a queen. But we say something else. We say, Baruch Ata. Ani ledudi vedudi li. There's a kind of relationship with God that has intimacy, has friendship. It's like feeling of you have a couple, husband and wife, friends. This is something different. Hillel wasn't a girl of thousands of friends. She wasn't this center. When she comes in, she wasn't surrounded. But she had a couple of friends and she used to care about them. Like, what could I do to make my friend be happy? And the harder question is, what could I do to make my husband happy? What could men do to make their wife happy? What could we do in these small day-to-day things to build up a different relationship? And I felt when Hillel was murdered, we had an amazing chesed. And this showed me there is a different kind of relationship. The same morning, a second after Hillel was murdered, my husband Amichai came in the house. He already knew that something was wrong, but nobody knew exactly what happened. He came with two friends, okay? Kiryat Arba is built in a certain way where there's like a, it's called Kitat Koninut, like a small army division made out of the citizens of the place. And everybody knew something happened. So three men entered the house where nobody knew what really happened. Amichai ran to the room of Hillel. That same second, he understood what happened and he was screaming, Hillel. His friend came after him. The third guy heard the screaming, ran in, shot the terrorist. The same second, he took a knife and wanted to murder the friend and wanted to murder Amichai. So it took us a day after, 2 days after, while we were sitting Shiva, I woke up in the morning, I said, oh my God, Amichai, you must say Hagomel. Then we had a miracle. I could be left without my daughter and without a husband. And we have a good neighbor, not far from us, in Kiryat Arba, where she lost a husband and she lost a son. And the fact that Amichai was saved is for us a big chesed. Not only that, Hillel was murdered the 30th of June. I'm saying the English date, because that's the last day of school. So that morning, I told Amichai, you must send the two girls early. It's the last day of school. So only Hillel, that was high school, she had her vacation date was earlier. She was the only one in bed. But what would happen if the three girls would be? It would be a slaughter. And we know these stories in Israel. The Fogel family, the Shabu family, I would be left with anybody. So I'm saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you're telling us there's another way of looking at the world. It's so hard, but knowing there's an intimacy and friendship and something that if we look for it, we'll find it. And it's hard, but it exists. A month and a half after the Shiva, we decided, the three families that were in that room together, to do Seudat Hodaya, a thank you meal. We understood there was such a miracle because the second guy that went in with Amichai, his name was Shuki, he was stabbed by the knife. The third guy shot the terrorist. One bullet came in directly to Shuki's eye. But for some amazing miracle, nothing happened. He lost his eye, but he could have been brain damaged. He could have died. So we sat down, the three families, and said, we must say thank you to Hashem that there was this amazing miracle. And we're sitting, both of us, in the Seudat Hodaya, crying and saying thank you to Hashem in the same thing. And living with these two sides of understanding there's some kind of chesed, and there's some kind of meaning, this is something that does us, it lets us continue. And there's another third relationship. I said Malkeinu, but before we say Malkeinu, we say Avinu. When we're gonna stand in front of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, we're gonna say Avinu Malkeinu. The first relationship is knowing Hashem is our Father. And this is the only relationship that cannot be separated. A slave could run away. Friends can separate. Couple could get divorced. The only single relationship you cannot change is parents. And Hashem promised us, and this is something that keeps me alive, I'll never separate the relationship with you. Banim atem la Hashem. It could be hard. Sometimes parents are angry, and sometimes they even could smack a kid, and sometimes they could do things that a child does not understand, and kids go far away and they change the direction and everything. But we are the children of God, and this is something that helps me wake up in the morning to know whatever is wrong, we must hold this, because soon it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. We're going to stand and say Avinu Malkeinu. And this idea that no matter what happened this year, and this year was the worst year in Kiryat Arba, just the school of Shira, our 8-year-old that's sound asleep now, one of her friends, her father was slaughtered. Another friend, her grandfather was slaughtered. A neighbor beyond, the son was slaughtered. A neighbor next to a door, slaughtered. 6 people in our small shul in a year and a half were murdered by Muslims and Arabs, and we're waking up in the morning and saying, how can we continue? How could we be strong? I go swimming every day. By my right side is a mother that her kid was murdered. By my left side was a mother that her husband. It's crazy. But something keeps the people of Kiryat Arba going. I don't know what, but I think this understanding of that we're the children of God, nothing will change it. We could do wrong and we could separate, and all of us, not all of us, we are full of sins, but we are the children. I remember the beginning of the vacation, Hallel, she was this girl that I said, I didn't even have a chance to fight with her. Usually teenagers rebel. I'm sure all of you have teenage kids. She was so young, she was only 13 and a half, we didn't even have a chance to fight. She wasn't this girl that said, buy me, and I need more, and I don't have enough shoes, and I don't have enough jewelry. She always say thank you. A week before she was murdered, I went with her shopping, and I saw this amazing blouse that was so cheap, and I said, Hallel, try it. And she said, but Ima, I don't need a blouse. So I said, try it. She tried it, and I said, I'll buy it. But Ima, I don't need a blouse. I said, I'll buy it. This is what was, but she had a computer. And I'm sure you all know the computer issues. She loved watching computer. And when the vacation started, I took the computer away and said, Hallel, I'm not giving it to you back till you make a program and tell me, what are we gonna do? Not because I want to punish you, and not because we're angry, and not because I have any disagreement, but I want you to sit down and write down a summer plan so I wouldn't come back from work and see you spend 8 hours in front of the computer, and I'm sure all of you know what I'm talking about. And I took the computer, and I was standing in the living room like for 5 days, and she wrote down a program, and she got the computer back. And I told her, I hope you understand why I took the computer. And she says, I know. And I felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying something. He didn't take my computer, he took something deeper. But he did it. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I know there is a meaning. And I feel some of the meaning is that we should know there is a story, there's a Jewish story that has to be told now. And we have to find, I think what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, we have to find the life of moving from life of, from goral, faith, to life of destiny. And this is something very hard. It's so easy to lie in bed and say, this is it, let's die. But we feel there's something we have to do, and life must have a destiny, must have something we could do. And people ask me, what do you do? What helps? So I want to say something that helps personally, and then I'll let Amichai speak. And then we'd love to open the discussion to questions, because I think this is something important to share ideas. I feel Hashem gave us a mission, and the mission is maybe in a few circles. I think the first circle is doing something in Hillel's memory in our own house. We live, I'm inviting everybody to come. Chaim and Linda came 2 years ago to harvest, a year ago, to harvest the grapes. And you worked like 2 hours in the sun. And then Chaim said, I know now, it's hard work. Usually buy the wine in the bottles. Amichai will show you the hands. We want to do something in Hillel's memory in the land where we live and where she was murdered. It's the verge of Kiryat Arba. It's the last house. The view we see is the view of an Arab village. It doesn't have to be this way. These are not political issues. These are Jewish issues. How can we help? Living in Kiryat Arba Chevron is not only living in the place where our fathers, the patriarchs, live. It's living in the place where the children want to continue. We're trying to find out how to keep her name in an educational way and something that would help her. The second circle that I feel I must do something is the school of my daughter. Hillel studied there for 4 years. Shira is studying there, and it's a school that has been terror attacked. And I don't know yet how, I don't know yet in what way. The teachers need help, the students need help, everybody needs some kind of empowerment, and there's much things to do. And the third issue that I personally feel is the biggest thing is Hillel was stabbed in the heart. Somebody wanted to destroy the heart of our family. Somebody took the heart of ours out. Somebody's trying to destroy the heart of the Jewish people. Now, the heart of the Jewish people is Beit HaMikdash. Is Harabite. I know not everybody agrees to it. I want to share something that I believe and let everybody, you know, flow with it. We feel that one of the most important things now is to empower the place of Beit HaMikdash and help it rebuild. Next Shabbos is my birthday. I'm 20. 21. And the first thing we did when we finished the Shiva, Amichai is a Kohen. I'm a daughter of a Kohen and a granddaughter of a Kohen. We went up to Har HaBayit, according to Halacha, and we changed the name of the only gate where Jews can enter, okay? Arabs can enter through 10 gates, Jews can enter one gate. The name of the gate was the Mugrabim Gate. We changed it to Hallel Gate. And I made this. This is the first time I'm wearing it. It says, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ya Halleluya. This is a picture of Beit HaMikdash surrounded by the gate, Hallel's gate, in order for us to say that nobody will manage to destroy the Jewish heart. We cry at night, we cry at day, but we have a mission that the Jewish people could do, and you could join us wherever you are in America or in Israel to empower the house of the Jewish people, Beit HaMikdash, and any Jew that can help in any which way is doing a big thing, because the Arab, and this is the last sentence, that came, a 17-year-old Arab that came from Bani Naim, that's 4.5 kilometers from where we live. He didn't hear education of love. His teacher didn't tell him peace. He heard hatred. And this came, he was 17, and he had a nice house and a nice family, but he was full of hatred. And this hatred comes from Jerusalem, comes from Har HaBayit, and it spreads all over. And we feel we have to strengthen the heart of the Jewish people. And I'll end them, let Amichai continue. And we'd love to afterwards open up to questions and hear and share your thoughts. Just standing here and knowing Hillel is not a private thing, but she's part of the Jewish story, gives us a lot of power to know that her death wasn't just some death, but it has a meaning. So here, Amichai.
Good evening. Everybody of us is writing his small story in the long story of the nation of Israel. Everybody of us is a
link in the necklace,
a link in the chain.
Yeah,
a chain.
In the chain, this very long chain. My story is at least a story of four young youth. My grandpa, he was 12 and a half years. He was in the first Zionist Congress in Basel. After it, when he married my grandma, he told her that we're not going to honeymoon to Carlsbad or something like that. We're going to Eretz Israel. And in Hanukkah, Tafresh Ayin Daled, December 1913, they were in Eretz Israel. Then they came back to Germany. And then in 1933, when Hitler burned the Bundestag, the night after it, my grandpa took all the whole family, Chilonim, Datiim, Haredim, Zionist, and he said, we don't have nothing to do here. We have to go to Eretz Israel. Only his family went to Eretz Israel. A lot of the bigger family were lost in the Holocaust. And there he, with the whole family, five kids, came to Eretz Israel. My father was 16 in 1936. And I think that the seeds he did in my grandpa in 1913, you see them now. As Rina mentioned, my mother jumped from the train to Treblinka. She was 14. And also that you see me here because she jumped. The third one is me. It was 1967. I was 10 years old. 1967 in Hebrew, it's more meaningful. Taf Shin Kaf Zayin, it means Tash Koach Zal. It means the power of the strangers were gone. The Muslims were gone. And we saw it in the 67 war. It was during the 67 war, it was Wednesday afternoon. My father was in the reserve in the army, and he called the mom and he said to her, invite places for Shavuot. We'll be in Shavuot in Jerusalem. What are you speaking about? What are you telling me? There's a war. Never mind. Invite. So she did an invitation and reserved, and she called the hotel. And the hotel, there was only the mother of the manager. And she told her, what? Jerusalem? Now it's war. What are you speaking about? So, and who will do the kitchen? So my mother made the invitation, and then, as usual, my father saw the future, and we were on Shavuot in Jerusalem, and the day after it, my father got a special pass to go to Hebron. And then he came to Hebron when we got to Hebron, and during the journey, we went to Kfar Etzion. Kfar Etzion was destroyed in 1929, after they built it in 1927. That was first time. They built it again in 1933, and it was destroyed the second time at 1936. Then they built it as a kibbutz in 1943, and then it was destroyed in the 48 war. And then in the 67, a day after it, a week after it, we came. But there was a military policeman. He said to us, you can't get inside. There are mines or something like that. It's suspicious as a mine. So my father took a ticket of a bus from his wallet and showed it to the military policeman. And he showed him it was Jerusalem, Kfar Etzion, Jerusalem for the 47, 20 years ago. It was only one-way ticket. It was there was left one-way ticket. Why? Because he get off the bus and his friend, the commander of Kfar Etzion, saw him and he said to him, Yehuda, what are you doing here? There is a war now, began. So my father was also a commander, but in the north. So he went with the, said hello to his parents that were in the Kfar Etzion small hotel in a vacation, and went back with the milk lorry, and he kept this ticket. Now we show it to the military policeman. The military policeman was got inside. So we went inside, and my father was shocked. He said, nothing was left. Nothing was left. So after a few months, Hanan Porat and Chavirav and his friends built Kfar Etzion again, the fourth time. Let's say after it, we went to Hebron and to Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And only 25 years after it, I came back to live in Hebron. And let's say that in perspective, we said no more occupied, Muslim occupied. We're going to come again to Hebron, as as Rina said, we came to Hebron not to not to live, and we came as sons to build a new life. And I knew that after 25 years I came, I knew that I was going to be another time a farmer, and I grew vineyards, I plant vineyards, and I plant and I built a winery in my hands. And after we have married, and Halel was 6 years old, we came to live there. And she was very
attached.
She was very attached to the vineyards and to working. I'm a man of physical working, and I think that Hebron is a Rina Megadilit. No, Megadil.
Building.
Hebron is a building, no, it's growing vineyards and the best wine grapes, and also giant people. That's written in the Torah. Avraham Avinu, Adam Gadol Ba'anakim, the giant people. Halel was a type of this girl. She was giant. But I took my last picture I took for her was 2 days before. She was on vacation, and she was working with me in the winery, and 2 days before, she told me in the living room, "Abba, I want to do a bridge." She was a, you know, she was a dancer, and she worked very hard to be a dancer. So, "Abba, I want to make a bridge on the forearms." I don't know how you do a bridge, but on the forearms, I didn't try. Tried. So, in the first try, she did it. And she go like that, and it's very hard to do it. You know, if you do it, it's like a circle. You make the circle, you take your head, it's between the elbows, and you get something like the... So she couldn't put... the one leg was outside. So she said to me, "Daddy, help me. Put my leg inside." I said, "What, there's a rope that connecting you to where? You'll collapse." "No, never mind. Take a picture." Why do I tell you that? Because Hillel was not such an elastic as Gumi. She worked on it from 7 years old. Every day she came home doing a
somersault.
Amidat Yadayim, I don't know. And I helped her. Every day I helped her. It took 5 years, but she became a very good dancer. And she was elastic as a snake. But she worked on it. She was bright. She was brilliant. But everything she did, she worked in it very hard. Not very hard, but she worked on it. She didn't...
She didn't give up.
So, my first wife was used to say that character in Hebrew, Ofi, it's Rashei Tevot. Ofi, Elef, Pe'amim, Be'yom. It means you do it if you want change. A small step in your character, you have to do it 1,000 times a day. That means off. Huge of working. You know, Hillel was the diamond. Ya'alom melutash. She was a diamond, but she was, in Hebrew we say, Ya'alom melutash. She was done. Everybody of us, if you look in the in this picture, you see that she was a very shaped diamond. Everybody of us, if he looks in this picture, he can see himself, but there is a lot of work to do, but he is a diamond in the crown of God. I want to add a few words about Rosh Hashanah. She said about Rosh Hashanah. I also, it's written in the Akedah. Every day I read the Akedah before the pray, before Shul. Yesterday, in the plane, after the plane, I told I told Kana the whole story. Kana is 4 years old, my youngest. There is written, "Kachna et bincha et yechidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Velech lecha el eretz amoria." And in the last psukim, after the Akedah, קיין אשר עשית את הדבר הזה, ולא חסכת את בנך את יחידך, כי ברך ברכך, וארבע הרבה את זרעך, ככוכבי השמיים וכחול אשר על שפת הים, וירש זרעך את שער אויביו. Everything costs. Everything have his cost. וירשתם אותה וישבתם בה. These are the words of Sefer Dvarim. God takes us the whole journey, the whole Galus journey to Eretz Yisrael. You heard what I told. And he said to us, plant, seed, build, grow vineyards, grow children. And we came here to eat, לאכול מפריה ולסבוע מטובה, ולברך עליה בקדושה ובטהרה. Once wrote and somebody is named Shlomo Skolsky, right like that. אין כובשים את ראש הסלע אם אין קבר במורד. It means you don't climb the rock without a buried somebody in the climbing. You have to cost. You have to pay the cost. Maybe מחיר אישי, private cost. Very hard. גיהנום עלי אדמות, we say. בתחילת פרשת העקדה, it's written in the... והעלהו. העלהו שם לעולה. But in ויקרא, it's written, אדם כי יקריב מכם. What's... in Hebrew we thought, we said, אדם מכם כי יקריב. Not אדם כי יקריב מכם. Once of you will sacrifice. Not one... And it's written, a man of you will sacrifice. It means he will sacrifice himself. And 16 times, in the first paragraph, in the Vayikra, it's the root, Kuf Resh Bet, Karev. And it's the first time that it's written korban. Before it's written ha'aleu, ola. But now the meaning is to להתקרב, איך? To become close to God. That's the first time. And it is תהליך.
A process.
A process that man has to go to be closer. It's written it means, you know, the Mishnah says when a man sacrifices a korban, he has to stand on his korban, and he has to see him sacrificed, slaughtered, and it is shocking to see when a behemoth is dead or becoming dead. It's a very shocking when I came to the room where Hillel was slaughtered. She was there in a unbelievable of a dancer position, and I called her Hillel, and then I shouted, I don't know why. Of course I know, you know, when in the exercising of the Kitat Konanut, the small army of the citizens, when Shuki was the man who was shot in the, his eye and lost his eye, he was the guide of the shooting, and every time he was screaming, "Shout, Mechabel! Shout, shout, Mechabel!" And I'm very old Yeke, and I'm not shouting, but now I knew I have to scream. It was coming for here, so I gave a big scream, "Hallel, Hallel!" He murdered her, and then as Rima said, Hallel was the sacrifice. It's hard to say, and I was standing on my sacrifice. In Hebrew, אני לא מאחל את זה לאף אחד, אבל צריך להמשיך לחיות.
We just heard Rina and Amichai speak. I want to tell you that Rina and Amichai, live on the outskirts of Kiryat Arba. They are the magen, the shield for the community. If I ask in this room who here has had or has a 13-year-old child, please raise your hand. You all realize that Hallel Yaffa could have been any of our daughters or sons. The Ariels have now experienced the unfathomable. It is a personal tragedy, but it is also Israel's tragedy. It is Am Yisrael's tragedy and all of humanity's tragedy. Hallel, unfortunately, a modern day korban, because unlike Yitzchak, no one was there to stop that knife when that Mechabel did what he did. We want to protect our children as well as ensure that Hallel's neshama continue to be for a blessing. In that spirit, Hallel's parents are establishing an educational center in her memory in Kiryat Arba. We've traveled a really long distance, Rina, Amichai, and their two younger daughters, Shira and Kana, and also Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. And we strongly, strongly wanted for the Ariels to gain chizuk and strength from your kehilah. For them to create this educational center in memory of Hallel, they need your help. Halavai, this wouldn't be a cause needed. However, we wanted to ensure that in Hallel's memory, this dream will turn into reality with your help. Please open your hearts. Helping them is helping Am Yisrael, as it is setting the foundation, deeply rooted on our land, a warm and welcoming center for Israel youth, as well as visitors from abroad, close to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the place where our patriarchs and matriarchs are buried. Bezrat Hashem, you too will come and visit and connect to our land through your acts of kindness and giving. In doing so, it is creating a space for the Ariels to continue on with support and love from the Jewish people. It is also with conviction that, God willing, you too will one day come soon and settle in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avotenu, and we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing, live in peace, Be'artzenu HaKdosha. The Shivat HaMinim, the grapes from Hallel's family's vineyards, will continue to flourish and grow and keep her memory and neshama alive for generations to come. I want to mention that Rina and Amichai arranged for Hallel's friends who performed alongside her in the Yerushalayim dance recital the night before her murder to dance that same dance in her memory at the Shloshim in Kiryat Arba. And I drove to Kiryat Arba, and I brought some of my friends from Efrat. I felt it was so important to go. And I went, and it was unbelievable. Here, Amichai and Rina just finished Shloshim, and they understood the importance for Hallel's friends to also heal. And they got on stage, and they danced the same dance. And I was watching, and I was crying, and many people were crying. And I was trying to picture where Hallel was standing the night before, you know, that night when she had danced. However, Hallel's sisters, Shira and Kana, were part of the dance together with her friends. And I'm telling you, I was bawling. I was like, oh my God, you just, Admatai Hashem, Admatai. But they picked up and they were dancing, and these girls were dancing. They were dancing their neshamot out for Hallel, Bizhut Hallel. And so as the two sisters were dancing, Shira and Kana, they danced together. And it just shows how incredible these parents are who saw this unbelievable opportunity for their friends to dance for their part, for them to be healing. It was an extremely powerful moment and an affirmation of life and healing. Hallel's loss was not just a personal loss for the Ariel family. It is truly my loss. And it really touches me personally because I have a 13-year-old daughter who loves to dance. And it really, really just brings it all home. I have 5 sons and 2 daughters. And I know my in-laws are here tonight. I didn't tell them this yet, but just recently, my Bechor, who's in 11th grade, received his Tzav Rishon that's coming up. And we are all children of Hashem. We all love to dance, and we all love to sing. And the fact that Dariel's got up and had her friends come and dance and sing Bizchut their daughter was just unbelievable. Oh, Hallel is your daughter too, just like she's my daughter. Hallel's loss was not just a personal loss. It is my loss, and it is your loss, and it is Am Yisrael's loss. It is humanity's loss. I strongly feel that it is our achrayut, our responsibility as an Am, to support the building of this education center in their daughter's memory. And in doing so, we are strengthening ourselves and affirming our zchut to build and keep building in the land of Israel. I am positive that many of you are familiar with the amazing work of Baruch Nachshon of Hebron. I personally reached out to Baruch Nachshon, and it's all min hashamayim, it's bemet bashert. So I was thinking to ask if he could make some kind of artwork that represented Hallel. And I mentioned it to a friend of mine that I wanted to speak to Baruch. And I got in touch with his son before I spoke to Baruch himself. And it turns out that within the past few weeks, and there are no coincidences, he had created an artwork that really, without connecting to Hallel, but it is Hallel, with the word Hallel. So Baruch Nachshon, I spoke to him, had a conversation with him just the other day, and he has donated the rights to reproduce this beautiful piece of artwork that was just created called Hallel, Song of Praise. And it's really, I never thought I would be standing here doing something with fundraising. I mean, my parents, Baruch Hashem, they're my rock. They're my, you know, educated and education. And yet, when it boils down to, like, money makes a difference, it helps. And so I thought that if we would have some artwork to sell, that maybe people would be more open to then giving a donation towards it. So I got in touch with an incredible printer, and he said to me, okay, Ilana, I need the file, which I got, and I need a little bit of an explanation of the painting. And I spoke to Baruch, and I said, so just, can you please tell me about this painting? And he says, who am I? You know, I just painted it. And it's really beautiful. And I showed it to my daughters, and my daughters looked at it, and my daughters are 13 and 6. And I really want them to live on Manifest Dream, just like all of you want all your children to live on Manifest Dream. And I lost my train of thought for a second. What was I saying, Phyllis? Oh, and he said, I'm just a simple man, it just came. And the bottom line is that we're all simple people. We're all children of Hashem. And so the printer printed out a special. We have these beautiful printed, it was just printed. My daughters looked at it, that's what I was gonna say. My daughters looked at the painting, and they said, it's Hallel's story. And Hallel's story is our story. And so it is tonight. Yes, I want to show it. It is just magnificent. Thank you, Phyllis. For those who donate tonight, more than $1,000 will receive this absolute exquisite picture that has Hallel, says Hallel on it, will receive a print of this beautiful painting that clearly it was Hashem, Baruch Nachshon was the Kli to create this absolute magnificent piece. We also have beautiful cards that we produced. Please buy packages of these beautiful Shana Tova cards. The package is gonna be double chai, 36. And we also made cards that you can use to enhance the simcha. You know, just write a special note. Spread mitzvah, spread cheer, spread bracha. So people, as I said, I had the privilege of speaking to Baruch Nachshon. And there's a lot more to say about it, but he gave me, he basically gave a bracha, and as a token of our gratitude to him, I mean, he's just remarkable. I want you all to know that I'm a volunteer who came. I'm not a professional fundraiser. I stand before you as a mother of 7 children, and I'm very grateful to my husband and to my 7 children, who really understood the importance of having Amichai and Ariel's voices be heard. Excuse me. I asked my 6-year-old on Shabbat, I said, Yair, do you know why I'm going to America? And I've never left my children. I think I've gone one night with my husband since we're married, can I know her, 18 years. And Yair looked at me and he said, Ima? I said, yes. He said, an Arab jumped over the fence and went into the Ariel home and killed Hallel with a knife. And you're going for a mitzvah. And I know that I'm here, and I'm just a simple person who went to be Menachem Avil because I have felt so sorry for their loss and just wanted to elevate their daughter's neshama. And I feel that it's nachrayut for you all to hear what they have to say, because this gives you the opportunity to give
to be Menachem Avil to them. Rina and Amichai are getting chizuk from you. And it's our achrayut to continue to give chizuk to them. And with that, I just ask to please open your hearts and to please make your checks out to Beth Aaron's Rabbi's discretionary fund and buy some Rosh Hashanah cards and give your children big hugs tonight and big kisses, because we just don't know, and every moment's a gift. And we need your help. You need our help. I need your help. We all need each other's help. Rina and Amichai are pioneers of the Jewish people. And wouldn't you want the Am standing behind you? Hallel is the youngest person who was murdered, and she represents our entire nation. Let's elevate her neshama tonight. Thank you. Yes. If there are any questions, Ariel and Amichai and Rina, please come in. Anybody has something to say, to ask, here's your opportunity. Yes, if anybody needs an envelope, there's an envelope on your chairs. Please be generous. Thank you.
We'll just open up a couple questions. I see people already have to go. But if anybody wants to ask anything, you're welcome. Just say a last word before we kind of, I guess, separate. You remind me, I have an old woman I visit on a weekly basis. She's 90, she's a Holocaust survivor. She came to be Menachem Asana Shiva, and she lost the whole family in the Holocaust. She was in Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, and like she's the hardcore. And she said, I live to tell. You live to tell too. And that's all I guess we'll have to do. So thank you, we're still here. And if anybody wants to ask something on a personal level, don't be afraid. We're still here, and thank you. And we invite everybody that comes to visit Kiryat Arba Chevron, just come over. Chaim could show you the way. And you're welcome to visit. Thank you for being here.